Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snack Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Everybody, and welcome into another edition of the Sports Kiki Podcast. It is episode number 133. My name is Alex Reamer, and it's a pleasure to be with you all here today, as it is each and every Saturday. You can find the show wherever you can find your favorite Outsports podcasts. We are available on Spotify, Apple, Google, all the platforms, and you know the drill. Download, listen, rate, subscribe. It helps us with all of our visibility. We want these great shows to get in front of as many eyeballs as possible. It is Saturday, September 17th. I can't believe it. We are just barreling through September. Unreal. And I have a big show for you all this week. I'm excited to get to my guest, who I will introduce in a few moments. But first, some loose ends I want to go over. Let's start with a really positive story, and then we'll go to more of a negative story, both in the world of male pro sports. Let's start with the NFL. Carl Nassib, as we mentioned on the show last week, did make the Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster out of training camp, and he was active for their season opener last Sunday night against the Cowboys, a game that was not close at all. I think the Bucs won 19-3, but the game wasn't even as close as that 16-point spread would indicate. Tom Brady looked great, missing 11 days of training camp, reported marital strife with Giselle. Doesn't matter. Tom Brady, 45 years old, still throwing dimes, and the Cowboys still getting embarrassed. A new season, but same Cowboys in a big primetime game. But one of the things that I noticed, and we all noticed at Outsports, about the coverage of Sunday night's game, is that Carl Nassib was treated as just another football player. I watched a lot of the game, and I did not hear Mike Tirico or Chris Collinsworth, the two commentators, mentioned his sexuality at all. And we've covered before about how Nassib has barely been asked about his sexuality since publicly coming out and since signing with the Buccaneers in training camp last month. And that's progress, right? I mean, we say it all the time. The true sign of progress is when being gay, being LGBTQ, is just not a big deal. And for Carl Nassib, it really doesn't seem like it's a big deal at all. He's not asked about it during press conferences. It's not mentioned during the Buccaneers' season opener Sunday night game. He's there in uniform like everybody else. And that's a great, great thing to see. Moving on to a more negative story, but it's gotten a lot of play for us this week. These kinds of things always do. Anthony Edwards is a rising star from the Minnesota Timberwolves, 21 years old. He is in some hot water for using anti-gay language to demean a group of men. He recorded himself doing this and then posted the video online so hundreds of thousands of people could see him do it. The posted video shows a number of shirtless men with Edwards saying in the background, with Edwards calling them queer ass in the background. So hard to be more homophobic than that. A video of shirtless men. Anthony Edwards calls them all queer ass. The league is reportedly reviewing the video, considering this happened over the weekend and it's now Saturday. So 1 week later, I'm not quite sure why a review of a very short video is taking so long, but nonetheless, Anthony Edwards released an apology, and it was quite hollow. He tweeted out, "What I said was immature, hurtful, and disrespectful, and I'm incredibly sorry. It's unacceptable for me or anyone to use that language in such a hurtful way. There's no excuse for it at all. I was raised better than that." And as we say all the time, I mean, that's great. Thanks for posting the apology, acknowledging your wrongdoing. But then what? Anthony Edwards is young. He's 21, but he's been in the NBA for 2 years. He should know better. And the fact that he posted this video on social media also changes the equation a little bit, because that means that this was a premeditated act. He wasn't just saying it spur of the moment in reaction to something. It was a premeditated act. He recorded the video, and then after recording the video, decided to post it and share his thoughts with the world. So you can say, "I was raised better than that," but where's the proof? What is Anthony Edwards going to do now? Well, judging by the Timberwolves' hollow apology, I would say nothing. The Timberwolves released a statement as well. Quote, "We are disappointed in the language and actions Anthony Edwards displayed on social media. The Timberwolves are committed to being an inclusive and welcoming organization for all." End of statement. What's missing in that statement? How about no mention at all of the LGBTQ community? No mention at all of the people whom Edwards disrespected with vile anti-gay language. I mean, talk about just checking it off, right? Okay, player says something dumb. Let's release the most banal, trite, substanceless statement we can, not even mention gay people or the LGBTQ community. All right, that's done. And, you know, most NBA teams reacted similarly when we outed dozens of NBA players earlier this year. During the, this was right before the playoffs. We had a long post. A reader tipped us off to all of these anti-gay messages that dozens of players shared on social media in previous years. Now, most of these players were in their teenage and college years when they posted these messages. A lot of them were between, I want to say, like 2008 and 13, 14. So a while ago. But still, we published this piece. We went to the NBA and NBA teams for comment. And the only team that appeared to take this seriously was the Philadelphia 76ers and their forward Paul Reed, one of the players with the messages. He issued a really, I think, genuine response and apology. The Sixers did as well, and that's no surprise. The Sixers take part in pride parades. They have a really inclusive organization, and they've shown through their actions, not just words, that they are inclusive. But outside of that, I mean, most NBA teams, when we presented them with this list a few months ago, had a very muted reaction, much like the Timberwolves did to Anthony Edwards. And Adam Silver really gets away with a lot. For whatever reason, he has the NBA has the reputation of being a league that's more focused on social justice than its counterparts, and and players are speaking out and they empower the players. And yeah, the NBA does empower players because it's a players' league. I mean, there are only five players on the court at a time. One player, one star player, can make such a huge impact. So of course the NBA caters to stars and players more than other leagues, because that's the way it's always been. So I don't give them a lot of credit for that. And I don't give Adam Silver a lot of credit. I mean, really, he's shown through his actions, he's just as obsequious to owners and business interests as every other commissioner. But yet, Roger Goodell gets hammered and Adam Silver doesn't. I mean, just look at Robert Sarver, owner of the Suns and Phoenix Mercury. The NBA fined him $10 million and slapped him with a one-year suspension for just these vile, for just a vile and toxic workplace culture that he created. There was a long independent investigation conducted that found that Sarver repeatedly used the N-word in front of black employees. He made misogynistic and sexist and sexual comments to female employees. And he did this many, many times over a period of many, many years. And yet, the NBA's quote-unquote independent investigation from a law firm they hired. In their findings, they say that they did not think Robert Sarver had any malicious intent for his misogynistic and racist remarks that he made, as I said, to many people over a span of many years. I mean, can you imagine the public outrage if the NFL covered for one of its owners like that? The NBA just did it for Robert Sarver, and nothing, absolutely nothing. No outrage, no pitchforks, if you will, no nothing. And it goes to their response to China. Now, Adam Silver has buried, has totally taken the NBA out of those conversations whenever China's grotesque human rights abuses are brought up. We all remember the league's apology to China a few years ago when Daryl Morey, general manager, tweeted support for the Hong Kong protesters. So this is the NBA. Like every other major pro sports league, or like most other pro sports leagues, they care about business interests. Their commissioner works for the owners. When owners like Robert Sarver do malicious and bad things and racist things and misogynistic things, they cover it up and, you know, give them a minimal punishment, relatively speaking. And that's it. That's the NBA for you. And yet they keep getting away with it. And this whole Anthony Edwards situation seems to be another example of that. All right, enough of my bloviating. Let's get to a guest. Sheree Johnson is the CEO of a streaming network titled Strong Voices Television. It is an LGBTQ-specific subscription service, and it came to our attention because it's the first ever platform to stream the Gay Softball World Series earlier this month. Strong Voices TV wants to air a lot of LGBTQ-specific sports. They already air a lot of LGBTQ-specific programming. It is a network by LGBTQ people for LGBTQ people. So coming up on the other side, you'll hear my conversation with CEO Sheree Johnson about Strong Voices TV, how it started, how it came about, why she thinks there's such a need for this kind of programming in our popular culture, the lack of diverse LGBTQ representation in popular culture as well. So all that is coming up on the other side. Sheree Johnson, it's a Sports Kiki podcast. Thank you, as always, for listening.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
And welcome back to the Sports Kiki podcast. As I mentioned in the opening, excited for my guest this week, Sheree Johnson. Does many things, one of which is being the CEO of Strong Voices Television, which became the first ever platform to stream the Gay Softball World Series earlier this month. It's an LGBTQ subscription service. Sheree, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Alex. Thank you so much for having me. We greatly appreciate you.
Yeah, no, appreciate you as well and what you all are doing with Strong Voices Television. So before we get further, Strong Voices is an LGBTQ subscription service. Just tell the people a little bit about what prompted you to start it, how they can find it, and all that good stuff.
Great. So Strong Voices Television started, with a concept, I guess a God-given vision. I'm coming from, in 2012, I launched the number one lesbian web series called Studville TV on YouTube. It had four successful seasons. And during that time frame of the first year in 2012, then I was standing in an apartment and I painted one of the walls chalkboard paint. I would put some of the topics that needed to be addressed and some of the scenes on that chalkboard paint wall. However, in the middle of that, a God-given vision, in the middle of that chalkboard, I wrote, and I do have pictures, I wrote the word gay flicks. Now, it sounds kind of pornographic, so I'm glad the name got changed. But Netflix was coming along at that time. They were starting up big at that time. And even in 2012, I felt that the LGBTQ community needed their own platform to express their own story, their lives, our way. And so we went through several years of the web series, and then they were issues with YouTube demonetizing our content along with other top LGBTQ content creators on YouTube. So we made a lot of money from the series, but then we would demonetize the final episode of season three. And from there, I was scrambling to find not only a way to get our stories out, our series, mm-hmm. but others as well who had been demonetized because of the logarithm, LGBTQ content, them stating that they could not find suitable ad partners. We can find them during Pride Month, but yeah. So once we were demonetized, you know, that fruition back in 2012 of Gayflix was born, and Strong Voices Television was born. In 2017, we launched. Great reception from when we launched in 2017. And then me being a semi-pro women's basketball player, Division One basketball player, University of South Florida, go Bulls.
Yes.
I knew sports had to be involved in this in some type of way. Over the past few years, there have been so many laws against our LGBTQ, particularly transgender athletes. And so the idea of adding sports, it just kept coming in my face. And so finally, we just said enough was enough. We saw the success during COVID years, platforms like Peacock and so forth, Fubo TV, ESPN, bringing sports to the masses as we were all quarantined or, mm-hmm. or put in lockdown. And so there's always been an absence of LGBTQ sports, games, and events. And it's still to this day, LGBTQ athletes come out, and it's just like this awe moment. Definitely gay males, NFL players come out, and it's like, oh my gosh, like it's such a big deal. On our platform, I got tired of seeing people beg for a seat at the table in television, film, yeah. and sports. Our community beg for a seat at the table. So we decided to build the table. The SDTV network is the platform that amplifies the voices of the LGBTQ community in television, film, and sports and advocacy by telling our lives, our stories, our way on one network.
Love it. It's
and there. You have it, Alex.
Yeah, I love it. That's a great pitch. It's a great. I love that. Why ask for a seat at the table when you can build your own damn table? I love that. what kind of to go to your YouTube show Studville, which kind of started this whole thing? What topics did you think that the mainstream shows about gay LGBTQ life were not addressing that you wanted to address in your show that again started Strong Voices?
We're definitely me being labeled, I guess, as a black masculine of center lesbian.
Okay.
Those stories were not being told from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The show was about my life and my three best friends and the things we've gone through in dating, careers, and friendships. At the time, we had Snoop, who was on The Wire.
Yep.
She was a masculine of center.
Yep.
But, you know, drugs and you know, that wasn't my life. So we played college ball and met there, all of my friends. And so those type of characters were not reflective of me. And so those were the stories that were not being told. Until Lena Waithe came up with her show, there was not on mainstream media at all a professional masculine of center or stud, is what they call them in our community, on mainstream television. So representation does matter. So that's what started off with WPV. We were very successful because of that. It was a complete absence of masculine of center black lesbians who were professionals, who, you know, pulled their pants up, who had careers, who were trying to do the right things and be reflected on television that way. So that's what we have with the show that I thought it was a complete absence, and we were successful on that.
What kinds of programs can people find on Strong Voices today?
All right, so Strong Voices Television today is one of the most diverse platforms because it was built for the rainbow. So it is not a specific niche. It is quite diverse, other than being LGBTQ niche. But there's something for, you know, everyone under the rainbow. So African-American shows, white males. Actually, they lead right now on our following, on our platform. White males do as well. Lesbians. So again, if you fit in the category of LGBTQ, no matter what color, creed that you are, if you're part of the community, there's something for you. We now have animation as well. So we have a couple of animated series through our partnerships with production companies. So we have two animated series on there. We have original series. COVID kind of shut us down, and we're just now getting back into the flow of things with original series and content. But again, there is a mixture. And with the addition of sports, definitely a mixture. I mean, sports brings the world together.
Yes.
No matter what color, creed you are. You know, if you're a fan of that team, everybody's in the stands rooting for that team, no matter what you are. However, there are some statistics that have been done by, what is it, Athlete Ally, that says there's a large percentage of the LGBTQ community that does not feel safe at sporting events. So, again, what better way than to come to our platform where now you can watch sports, our lives, our sports, our way on one network and in a safe environment if you don't feel safe. But you can see our sports.
Yeah, and that's our business at OutSports, too, making sports accessible for all people in our community. Because, as you know, sports have traditionally been an exclusionary space, but getting more inclusive. And so what exactly constitutes, in your mind, an LGBTQ sports? Obviously, Gay Softball World Series hasn't been the name, but what other kind of sports offering can people expect to see?
Well, we've done a lot of softball. We've done football. So we did the Legacy Bowl in Orlando right after Memorial Day when we did the Peach tournament in Atlanta. We went down to Orlando and did the Legacy Bowl. We also did their Skills Challenge Live. They did a first time for their Skills Challenge. So things that you see on TV with other sports, the NFL games, the WNBA games, all of those things. And coming down the pike, we've already done the Asana World Series. That's more on the women's side, transgender, lesbian side. So we did their softball series, and then we did NAGA, which is more male-dominated trans. And we did that in Dallas. So we've done softball, football, and then coming in October, we have now partnered with the National Gay Basketball League. So we'll be doing the basketball championships down in Florida.
Love it.
Again in October. And then October will end our offerings for this quarter and for the rest of this year. But we've already solidified gay polo. So similar to the Kentucky Derby, there is a gay polo professional league, and they do have a Kentucky Derby-type event. So that is on the agenda for next year, as well as all the sports that we've done here, volleyball. We are in talks with the volleyball league as well to get volleyball on the platform. And as we grow, next year, right now we focus on the championship games.
Yep.
As we grow next year, we'll try and get kickball, tennis, golf. So any sport that we play, we're here to amplify those voices and let people know. There's the gay games as well. We have not spoken to the gay games, but those are events that, you know, people don't know about. Myself being part of the community, our team researched and found those. And I'm like, it's a gay game? You know, that's like the gay Olympics.
Yes, exactly.
And knowing their backstory, they were told they couldn't use the word Olympics. So it was the gay Olympics at first, but it had to change the name. So those are the things that we have coming down the pike and future discussions that we want to have with certain leagues.
There you have it. Yeah, well, I'm a longtime player in my flag football league here in Boston, my LGBTQ flag football league, part of the National Gay Flag Football League, Cherie, I don't know if you've heard of us, NGFFL. So there you go, another option.
We were trying to get to Hawaii for the Gay Bowl.
Yep.
But that was on the same weekend as the basketball tournament.
Got it.
So, yeah.
So maybe next
time. That's on the agenda as well.
Good. Glad to hear that. I had to get in my flag football plug. All right, good.
Definitely. Yeah. Forgot about it. My apologies.
Yeah, no, I think it's so cool. And, you know, it's kind of amazing to me that in today's world that there aren't more. I mean, there's obviously lots of LGBTQ-focused digital publications and print publications, but there aren't that many, and it's amazing that there aren't more kind of streaming options that cater directly to, you mentioned, the LGBTQ community, which is so diverse. I mean, it is not homogenous as well, and I feel like even still today in 2022, the mainstream representations that we get from our community are so kind of homogenous and cookie cutter. So I think it's great work.
Right. You know, we have certain leagues that, you know, part of our community pretty much dominates and pretty much everyone knows that they're gay, but, you know, it's not really publicized, and certain leagues don't want to be, you know, categorized as the gay league. And if you don't know what league I'm talking about, it's the WNBA.
Right.
Right. I mean, we promote and you know a lot of the players in the WNBA who are, you know, are part of the LGBTQ community. We got the GOAT, Sue Bird, you know, retiring now. So we're retired now because they lost. But, you know, there are other players in our league. So the lesbian, the L part, that gets national television play. I mean, it's starting to become more. But now they kind of fall into the fight for women's equality in sports. So it's still not the LGBTQ part that people are fighting for, but it just happens to be the L part that's right. Part of the women's fight at this time.
Right. And to kind of broaden it out to a larger cultural conversation, you know, I'm a gay man and it's getting a little better. You know, Fire Island, I thought, was a really good movie this summer that I think accurately portrays a lot of aspects of that culture. And I loved the Asian leads. Bros seems like a cute gay romantic comedy, Billy Eichner. But I'm wondering your point, to kind of get back to where we started, about women. I feel like gay men, it's getting better, more representation, more accurate and diverse kinds of representations. But what do you think about women? It seems like Hollywood has a lot, even more catching up to do with women in our community than they do with gay men. I don't know, just a thought.
And that's on our agenda. But, you know, I can agree. Definitely those movies are going to come out and support those movies, and they are diverse. But, you know, the fight for mainstream representation, you say is diverse, but from what I see, it is white males, gay males, white gay males.
Right.
We begged, largely, you know, the Hallmark Channel. You know, we want Christmas movies as well. So,
yeah,
you know, they right. obliged, but it was gay male.
Right.
Right. That they put on television. So women, definitely, there has not been a lesbian type Hollywood production, A, that is women, lesbian led, and then diverse.
Right.
Now, we have a solution to that, but we're waiting on that, but it's going to be more sports centered. But so right now in theaters there's some great movies out. Bros, definitely looking forward to that one. So a couple of people, you know, that I'm familiar with are in that film as well. But my feeling on that is just women just get it on both ends, whether you're straight or heterosexual, straight or a lesbian, you know, we kind of get it on both ends with representation. So
Right. That's
where our platform comes in. You know, it started. The platform started because a lesbian show that had African-American lesbians, masculine or center, definitely, you know, was not being picked up by the Netflixes. You know, everyone was telling us, hey, y'all just keep putting out great content, Netflix will come. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in build that they will come.
Right.
But Netflix never came. And then we got demonetized. And then other people, you know, on the platform were demonetized. And we all got together. And, you know, that's how the network was born.
I love it. Strong Voices Television. You can find them at svtvnetwork.com. Cherie Johnson, CEO. Thanks so much for your time. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Alex, just thank you so much for having us. And we'll love to speak more with OutSports and see what kind of partnerships we can put together to deliver more content and amplify the voices of our sports leagues, our players, our athletes, and our allies.
All right, so a big thanks to Cherie Johnson for taking the time, coming on the show, Strong Voices TV, check it out. And yeah, it is an important point. As I was saying at the end of our conversation, when you talk about gay men, I think it is getting a little better. We are seeing a little more diverse representation. I mentioned Fire Island, which I think was a great movie that really captured the essence of what a summer trip to Fire Island or P-Town means. And they had two Asian men as their lead, so that was good to see. And Bros, the Billy Eichner film, I'm going to be entertained by it as well. But Cherie said, still, we're largely talking about white men and white gay men. And there's a lot of other components of not just the gay community, but the LGBTQ community that really don't get represented at all. So it's a good idea. And hopefully you all check it out. I know I'm going to. So thanks to Cherie Johnson. As always, if you have any show ideas, guest ideas, topic ideas, you know how to find me. Hit me up on Twitter. @AlexRemer1 is my username. That again is @AlexRemer1. So long, everybody. We'll talk to you next Saturday.